This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
My partner calls it the Power Hour, and there's a reason you call it the Power Hour.
Right.
Big time guests.
That's it.
Including our next
one. Starting right at the top, too.
That's right. He has been on multiple times. He's always entertaining. He's always informative. He's on time on top of that, which makes it even better. Let's bring on the director of athletics at Syracuse University, John Wildhack. John, good morning. How are you?
Morning, guys. How you doing?
We're good. And so a real simple question to start things off. How's business?
Business is overall business is pretty good. Pretty good. Things are a lot going on up here. Closing the dome in 10 days. March 1's our last event, and then we got 6.5 months to put a new roof and do a whole bunch of other work on and get it ready for our home opener against Colgate in September.
John, in many ways, have you guys done all the heavy lifting? I mean, you've staged a football season and a basketball season while having a construction site during the week. You've had lacrosse obviously start their season in there. Is that the hard part, or is the hard part still to come here in terms of the work that has to be done between March 1 and what you hope will be, I know, the first football date?
Well, it's Wes, it's the entire project is hard, so it's kind of degrees of, but, it's been a challenge throughout the fall and the winter because, as you said, it's, you know, we're playing it and it's also a construction site. So March 1, it becomes a construction site 7 days a week, but there's a lot of complexity still to do in terms of completing the outer frame. We got to bring the current roof down, put the new roof in. And then what we're doing with lighting and sound and the new center-hung scoreboard. So there's a tremendous amount of work to do, but the good news is we're on schedule.
From a lacrosse standpoint, which is a sport that really matters. I mean, your home base is fantastic. Fans are into it. Great tradition, great history. It's going to be kind of an interesting transition going from the dome to, you know, option A, B, and C, isn't it?
It is, and the good news, Mark, is last year we played played Duke at CNS, which is a high school north of here. So we played them. Our guys were used to it. It was a great game. Our women's team played at CBA, which is a great facility locally as well. So we've had experience, but yes, no question it'll be different. But the thing about ACC lacrosse is, you know, if we've got the glob in men's basketball, and Pack, that's your term, so
that's
you
it.
Own the trademark on that. Well, I want lacrosse, both men's and women's, to be known as the gauntlet.
Mm. Oh, I like it. I like it. Yeah. This is
every, this all is, men's teams are ranked in the top 10. It's crazy.
This is why I like Wildhack on the show. Every time he's been on the program, he has given us something. It's not just the traditional answer. You always come up with something creative. That's why we like having you on the show. I like that. The gauntlet.
Love all right, it. But you own the glob, but I own the gauntlet. Okay,
done.
Terms of copyright and trademark.
Done. You and I got a deal. We like it. We
all
like
right, it. Deal. Awesome.
Now that the entrepreneurship part of this program is over, we will move on to we'll move on to this. When we look at, and I want to go back to the building for a moment on this because I know there was a story that ran on Syracuse.com talking about your postseason basketball. There are a lot of intricacies, obviously, March 1 being the close date on your building. But you were hoping, obviously, and you still hope if you get some kind of run, you get in the tournament, you get to the NCAA, great. But I was asked this the other day, and I saw, I think you addressed it a little bit in this article, which was my point. You're going to participate in the NIT if there's an opportunity. You just got to sort that out as it becomes reality, right?
Correct, Wes. And we haven't spent a lot of time on it, to be honest with you. But, you know, reality now, we need to explore it. And we need to see if there are venues that are available locally that, A, are available, and B, are suitable and meet the standards of the NCAA for the NIT. But, you know, we're still holding out hope to make, you know, one heck of a run at the end of the season. But at the same time, as you know, we've got to deal with reality as well.
All right. The other thing, too, about your building is – Syracuse has got enough tradition in that facility on a lot of fronts. I think the honoring of John Wallace's jersey, that's got to be something special for everybody that's going to be involved. What a great star he was for Coach Boeheim.
Well, John is, he led our 96 team to the championship game where we we played that Kentucky team that I think had nine NBA future players on it, and it, you know, was a game literally until the last, you know, 90 seconds. And John was an All-American here, you know, one of, you know, over 2,000 points, over 1,000 career rebounds. Great player, an even better person. And he's been incredibly loyal to the program and the university, so it'll be special to honor John. It'll be special to do it when we host Carolina as our final game in the Dome as we know it today.
John, how would you describe the current state of both the men's and the women's basketball program right now in Syracuse?
I think our women's women, we've won five in a row, Mark, so we're on a nice little run, and I think we're a tournament-worthy team. We've got three games left. We need to finish strong, and we probably need to win one or two in the ACC tournament. But if you look at our non-conference schedule, yeah, we played Oregon, we played Stanford, we played Michigan State, we played Michigan, we played West Virginia. I mean, we played, you know, a real, real challenging non-conference schedule. We've got great wins over top 10 teams at the time in Florida State and Louisville. We beat Michigan, the aforementioned Michigan State. So I feel good about where the women's program is. You know, the men's program, it's near misses, right? And it's frustrating because we've had some winnable games, and Florida State was certainly a winnable game for us. And they haven't lost at home in over a year there since Cam Reddish beat them at the buzzer. But Florida State made the play to win the game at the end, and we didn't. So it's frustrating, but I think the ACC, I think men's basketball is incredibly competitive, and the conference may not be as good at the top as it's been in the past few years, but top to bottom, I think it's stronger than ever. And I'm a little frustrated when you hear the bracketology experts say, well, you know, there's three that are locks and Virginia looks good, maybe NC State, because I think there's teams 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 in the ACC that would win a lot of games in other Power 5 conferences.
Of course, we still have another 3 weeks to see how it all plays out, which always makes March Madness what makes it so special. Although you mentioned scheduling. We had the announcement this week that Clemson and Georgia had kind of finagled some stuff so they could play a season opener down here in Charlotte in 2021. From a scheduling standpoint in football, do you get a sense there's a changing of the guard, at least in perception of how schools are going about future schedules and playing other Power 5 teams or not?
I think there is, and you're starting to see it, and it's driven by, I think, conversation that – it seems like it's almost inevitable that there's going to be some kind of expansion in the college football playoff.
Right.
And with that, I think that's probably given some schools a little bit more, you know, latitude, right, to schedule, you know, one more, you know, massive non-conference game. So you're seeing a little bit more of that. You know, and I think it's ultimately, I think it's good for the sport. It's also, it depends where your program is, right? I mean, Clemson and Georgia are at elite state right now. Our program, we're still trying to build our program. So we've got to schedule accordingly our non-conference, knowing that we're going to play Florida State, we're going to play Clemson, Louisville, NC State, you know, every single year in our division.
You've also got a scenario, too, where you've got a forward-thinking football coach. You've got a coach that understands kind of how the dynamics work at different levels because he's been at so many schools. Can you think of a way that if, let's say, for instance, in 3 years, and we had this conversation the other day, if you know in 3 years that you guys might be ready to ride, do you think about, okay, if we think we're going to be good in 2022, 2023, we need to make sure our schedule is competitive enough in the bigger picture, John?
We do talk about that, Wes, and you know, as we look towards the future, and obviously it's really hard to predict, right?
Yeah. But
as we build the base, and for us, it's really building the depth in our program. That's what we need is the really, really good programs. They have tremendous depth across their defense, their offense, their special teams. We're not at that point yet. And that's where we're trying to get to. And if we think we're there or close to there, yes, we might look at a particular year and say, you know what? All right, this is a good opportunity. This is a good time for us. All right, the schedule, you know, schedule up in this particular year.
John, we just had Commissioner Swofford on the show the other day, and for a guy with such unbelievable experience as an athletic director and obviously now as a conference commissioner at the Power 5 level here in the ACC, we were both surprised, and probably shouldn't have been, when he talked about the name, image, and likeness issue being maybe the most complex issue that he's run across. I mean, you just had mentioned college football playoff expansion being inevitable, and we know about the transfer portal and the ACC stance from just the whole, you know, 1 year to transfer and so forth. But from a name, image, and likeness standpoint, I know there have been some serious conversations amongst ADs, the commissioners, et cetera. I mean, would you agree where Commissioner Swofford was coming from in terms of the complexity of this issue and how difficult this is going to be a challenge for the NCAA and schools, not to mention student athletes?
It is complex, and I saw the interview you did with John, and you guys did a great job with that. It was a really good conversation. It is complex, and we're going to need to figure it out, and we're going to need to work together. We've discussed it. The ADs have discussed it in depth. We'll continue to have those conversations, but we need to get to a point, in my opinion, where, all right, we allow our student athletes to be able to profit off their name, image, and likeness. And the complexity is, what are the parameters that you put around that? And that's what has to be defined, and it still needs to be defined, but we're going down this path, so it's going to happen. Anytime there's change, change always leads to some consternation. But this is, listen, we're also in 2020, so we've got to understand, you know, reality in today's student athlete and where we are in the enterprise of college athletics today. And ultimately, I think we'll get to a solution. Is there going to be a perfect solution for all parties and for everyone? No, but it's a step in the right direction, and we will get there.
You know, the interesting part, and I always, and I've told you this, and for those that haven't heard us visit before, I think your business acumen, certainly with ESPN and in the world of media, is one of the great advantages this league has, because in that room, you know what the reality is. You know what the dollars and cents reality is of a marketplace in sports. Are we going to get, and this is a broad stroke question, I'll say that at the top, are we going to get to a point where the value in college athletics is even going to be more increased because of name, image, and likeness, John?
It could, Wes. And just the value of sport in from a programming perspective, from a media perspective, continues to increase. And it's only going to increase to media companies, to advertisers, to distributors. 92 of the most 100 watched television shows last year in the U.S. were sporting events. 92 out of 100. 74 out of those 100 were NFL games. It's in a non-Olympic year. 2020 is an Olympic year. You had the Olympic year, that 92 is going to go to probably 96 or 97. So the power of sport from a media perspective is only going to continue to increase, and that bodes, I think, very well for college sports.
John, before we let you run, it's kind of a traditional question with you. Would you like to throw it to camera 2, camera 3, camera 4, anything along those lines?
ready to take 3. Right? I was never a very good director. Pack, you got to come up. You got to come up. We got to do some dinosaur together,
man.
Right?
I'm me and
we
you.
Can
we're
shake
doing
hands
it.
Over we can shake hands over the blog and the gauntlet, sign the papers there. Jeez. You can stay at Wes's condo. Wes, did you close on your condo downtown yet? You spent so much time up here. You're a taxpayer now, right? New York
That's
State.
It.
Thanks. My accountant's waiting on your paperwork. I appreciate it.
I tell you what, if I don't make it up to Syracuse for dinosaur, how about we break some bread in Greensboro? Because you guys this year, men's basketball, no Wake, no State, no Duke, no North Carolina on the road trip, so we'll have to hook up in Greensboro.
Deal.
Done.
I'll tell you that, if you're
deal.
Really good.
We'll do it, and the barbecue's on me.
I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to run down the road to Lexington. We'll get you the chopped plate with the wax paper pies. That's I can it. Promise you that.
We'll make you feel right at home.
I'm in.
All right, John Waldhack, thank you. Appreciate it as always.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend. Appreciate what you do for the conference.
Well, thank you. Syracuse, Georgia Tech this weekend as well. That'll be an unbelievable atmosphere for John Wallace on next week with Carolina in town.
John Lonhack has never been bad. He has hit a home run every time he's been on the show.
Yeah.
Every time.
He could come in here and fill when no Seven-ish doubt. Doesn't make it.
Well, you know, he can also fill in Bristol. I'm telling you, he's got it, man.
Yeah, he's got it. No
he knows
question.
What's going on.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Best chance to win the ACC.
We got three at the top.
Yep. And we have percentages.
Oh, I love it when we go with the numbers. Are these the luck numbers or these are like winning percentage? What do you got?
This is like the BPI.
What's the luck number for these three? Do we know that yet?
I'm sure we can find that out for you.
You're into the Ken Palm unlucky or luck stand, whatever that nonsense was yesterday. Can we get those numbers for Duke, Louisville, and Florida State just to see which one's the luckiest of the three?
Duke has an 83% chance to win the regular season, according to VPI. Uh-huh. Louisville is at 40.
Right.
Florida State's at 21.
Okay.
However, Drew Brooks, our producer, has the Ken Palm numbers you requested.
All right, I want to see the lucky factor that you guys are so into, which I think is total you-know-what.
So Duke is 139th in the country in the total luck rating at plus .019.
Okay.
So, again, luck being positive, right?
That is correct. Okay. That is a positive luck rating, and they are 139th in the country.
And there's 300 – wait a minute, hold on. There's 353 teams attempting to play basketball. And you're telling
that
me
is
Duke,
correct.
You're telling me Duke with his stupid Ken Palm luck thing is a .139 in the luck department.
Well, they weren't very lucky the other night.
No, wrong, seven-ish. It wasn't had nothing to do with luck. It had everything to do with the team that they played kicked their rear ends.
Okay.
Had nothing to do with luck. Had everything to do with playing. That's my point with all this. All right. So Duke's a .139.
Well, you can get beat and still be unlucky. Louisville.
Not by 22.
Okay. Louisville is 152nd in the luck rating, but still a positive luck rating of .014.
All right, so they're in the neighborhood.
Okay.
Duke and Louisville.
All right. Florida State is negative in the luck factor, it sounds like.
Who knows?
I would not say that.
Okay.
Florida State is 20th in the luck rating.
Whoa.
At .079.
So wow. Florida State is the luckiest of the three, according to Ken Palm.
Coach Hatch should go out and buy a lottery ticket.
The only team that's luckier in the ACC is Boston College, according to Ken Palm.
Right. Of course.
Right.
Ask Jim Christian that.
BC's lucked their way into a 7-9.
Yeah. When Jim Christian got the injury report before the first half of the season, tell me how the luck factor was working out there.
Well, how about the other night when the ball ends up in Stephen Mitchell's hands and he kind of bats it along to Jarius Hamilton for the dunk?
Got me to play. Not to mention a call that went their way. You know what else helped? NC State's last possession. That helped. What part of that was luck? This is all about earning the ability to win a game. This is why I think this is one of the dumbest. That's why I've been mocking it for 2 days now on the show.
And America knows it.
So of the three quote unquote elite teams we have in the league, for argument's sake,
yes, sir.
Florida State, according to Ken Palm's luck rankings,
yes,
is the luckiest of the three.
That's it.
Then Duke, then Louisville.
That's
right?
It. Yeah.
That's what you guys are telling me.
You're doing pretty good.
All right. I'm just trying to connect the dots of this stupid topic.
Aren't you excited about this?
I'm excited about watching these teams play. That's what I'm excited about. I'm excited about watching Florida State, NC State tomorrow with Wes Durham on the call, knowing what's at stake for the Noles in terms of being in first place and what's at stake for NC State to solidify, let me emphasize that word, solidify their NCAA tournament appearance. To me, it's the most important game of the weekend.
Florida State, NC State.
In hoops.
Yeah.
The most important game of the weekend is 1-2 in baseball, Canes, Gators. But in hoops, men's hoops, this game tomorrow that you're doing, Wes, is numero uno.
I think it's going to be very interesting to watch NC State start this game because the way they started the other night compared to, let's say, Sunday at Boston College or even couple weeks ago when they first played Carolina, remember they had the early lead and then by the under eight, it was, you know, Carolina had the momentum.
Yeah, it's 10-1 against Duke and they had made a statement from the get-go that tonight we're here to play.
But they also did that against Carolina and then have they matured to a point where they can go fast start again? The other night they didn't do it at Boston College.
Mm-hmm.
You could argue they didn't do it.
It's also on the road. It's an environment that you better create your energy for the most part.
Sure.
Right?
Now,
I mean, it's a whole different deal as opposed to Duke's coming to your house from 20 miles down the road.
4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, PNC Arena. Everybody there will be interested.
Oh, there's no doubt.
NC State will be interested. Florida State should be interested.
They've got everybody's got everything to play for in that game.
Right.
You can't say that about all these other games. I mean, granted, everybody wants to win. But this game has huge implications in terms of NCAA seedings. Florida State trying to be in first place,
right,
being the luckiest team in the league, apparently. NC State.
Behind Boston College.
Well, you're right, of course. Yes. But I'm talking about trying to win the league.
No, I got you.
But, you know, for NC State, man, if you're telling me you can end the week 2-0, knowing what was at stake going into it, Duke and Florida State coming to your house and you had to win at least one.
Mm-hmm.
I can't emphasize how important it is for Kevin Keats' guys tomorrow. And Leonard, too. I mean, it's why it's the best game of the weekend.
Be very interesting to see how this goes now.
Yep. I know you're not going to be here Monday, but accounting on Monday will be really intriguing, too, because there have been some stubs of the toe, mm-hmm, the top, and the glob is the glob. I mean, just look at the standings and go, all right, go figure this thing out. You keep thinking Virginia and Pitt's got some watch out to it. I can
only
vibe
because
today on
only because Virginia scored it the other night, and now Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh. If they're going to create any momentum down the stretch, they've got to get a win. The Florida State win was a long time ago.
Well, they've been slipping here the last week.
That's
and a half.
What I'm saying.
Yeah.
So somebody's got to fire the salvo here to, you know, get him to the Greensboro event and then see beyond. I think he's done a really, really good job with that program, but it's going to get – I think it's going to be interesting to see kind of how this rolls.
I think the two most interesting games of the weekend, ironically, you're doing both of them. I'm not saying it because you're sitting here.
Mm-hmm.
But the game you've got tomorrow in Raleigh, we just discussed. The game you have on Sunday,
right,
is Miami, who all of a sudden is healthy and hot. And their backcourt has been terrific. And they're 6-10 in the league. And they're going to Notre Dame, who's 7-8. And when you look at both of their schedules, they're both manageable. They both can shoot. And Notre Dame, for the first time, it'll seem like in weeks, is going to feel rested. We had Mike Bray on the show yesterday. And you know they can shoot fresh off of that ridiculous comeback win against North Carolina when they're down 15 with 8.5 to go. And
right,
both of these teams can score. Right, and
yep,
it just seems like they've got the mentality to be able to give you a game that can get into the 80s. So I think these are the two most interesting games of the weekend. And West Durham, 7-ish, is doing both of them. Saturday afternoon at 4 and the Sunday night game at 6.
Yeah, the Miami-Notre Dame game, I think Notre Dame has a chance to drop in right behind NC State one way or the other. Because you mentioned the term favorable finishes.
Yep.
Notre Dame has Miami at BC, at Wake, Florida State, and Virginia Tech at home. Three of the last five at Purcell Pavilion. And they're pretty good in that building,
yeah,
by
they
the
are.
Way.
They sure are.
And not a bad road team either, especially when you're going to a place like Boston, which, you know, you don't know what kind of environment you're going to get there game to game, and also what happens at Wake Forest now. Deacons, by the way, the loss to Georgia Tech the other night kind of sapped the energy. They have Duke next week, Notre Dame at home, at Carolina, at NC State on the Friday night. By the way, for those of you who traditionally remember the ACC Saturday flurry, the finish, somebody has a bye, there are two Friday night ACC games. Wake Forest at NC State, Georgia Tech at Clemson on the Friday night before the final day of the regular season, which is the Duke-Carolina game and so forth on that Saturday.
That's what I mentioned to you the other day. If, biggest word in sports, if Wake beat Georgia Tech, I think it would have solidified North Carolina at 15. Wake losing that game. North Carolina gets Wake Forest in Chapel Hill. I know the Deacs already beat them once, but
NC State at home.
Yeah, I you know, the 14-15 thing, still up for grabs, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you care.
That's it. You got it.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
What's Brother Fuller doing?
Fuller's just checking out. He's looking to see if Robert's got any more of that peanut butter on the edges bread thing going on over there. Whatever the treat of the du jour. And a brother, Chester, he's sound asleep on the green room chair. He's done.
Chester's done.
Yeah, he's done.
Big weekend for the boys, Plant. You got big weekend for the dogs here?
Yeah. Well, I mean, every Saturday and Sunday we go for truck rides. We do.
Like an amusement park?
We do truck rides.
Go down to Carowinds for truck rides?
No, we don't go to Carowinds. We go to the woods.
Oh, do you?
We go woods.
Take the truck off-road?
We go woods. Yeah. Chester's in the front, riding shotgun. Sure, Fuller goes back.
Yeah, yeah. When I still got the video of riding shotgun with those dogs last year.
Yeah, my wife has reached the point she will no longer ride with me in the Ford F-150 because every time she thinks she's getting in the Chester goes,
Boy, that's a good indicator.
No, that's how it works.
All right, let's span the glob a little bit here.
All right.
Georgia Tech.
We got some glob games.
Syracuse.
We got some globbers today.
Georgia Tech, fresh off a trip to the Speedway up there at Coliseum Boulevard in Winston-Salem. What do you think? Georgia Tech, Syracuse. By the way, our friends at BPI give Syracuse a 76% chance to win.
Wow.
I don't know what the Clark County, Nevada number is, but 76 seems like a little strong.
That seems like a high number to me, the way Georgia Tech's playing. And I know we just had John Wildhack on. We asked him a question about kind of like the state of the union of your basketball programs, men and women. I do wonder where Syracuse is mentally.
Mm-hmm.
Because this last two games, much like we've talked about with NC State this week with both Duke and Florida State at home, Syracuse just finished up their chance, right? At Florida State, they played well, had a chance to win, had the lead late, couldn't close. Then, of course, they go to Louisville and just get waxed. I mean, they just were not in the game. I just wonder where they are mentally. I mean, everybody's tired. Everybody's beat up. You know, everybody's physically kind of worn out a little bit because it is a grind. But mentally, is there enthusiasm? Is there an energy right now for Syracuse given the way they've played here in the month of February and really coming off a disappointing LL at Florida State and at Louisville? You know, you mentioned the first couple minutes of the NC State game. How about the first couple minutes of the Syracuse game? Because I think Georgia Tech's kind of excited the way they're playing, to be honest with you.
4 o'clock tomorrow, by the way, on available on the ACC NX on the ESPN app. I look at this game, and I got to be honest with you. I saw a lot of momentum out of Georgia Tech the other night.
That's what I'm telling you. I sense the same thing. That doesn't mean, hey, they could go. And keep in mind what happened the first time these two hooked up. Remember? Syracuse put, 34 on the board
at
home?
Elijah Hughes is still scoring.
I know, but remember, they put 34 on the board to start the season against Virginia at home. Then they go to Georgia Tech and scored a trillion. I mean, they were unbelievable against Georgia Tech.
I got to tell you that Josh Macri probably remembers this. C.J. Fair senior night, Carrier Dome a few years ago. Woe is me, Georgia Tech comes in there and blows doors on the Orange. I mean, I don't think the Jackets' record at the Carrier Dome is all that dreadful. It's not like it's uncharted water for them to go up there and win. Saturday afternoon, 4 o'clock, zone versus zone, because you know Pastner's going to play zone.
And we still don't know the status of the Jackets for the ACC tournament.
No, we do. Right now they're playing.
Okay.
They're 500.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to go 500 on you, but, you know, 7-8.
No. I'm talking about, like, overall. They're right in that neighborhood of 500. Why would you cash out at this point?
I'm just asking. Maybe there's been all kinds of speculation with Georgia Tech.
Oh, there's been a ton of speculation about it.
That's all I'm saying.
I mean, we addressed this whole thing like a week ago about the NCAA infractions and the appeal process. And, you know, I think the indications are that this could go down to the 11th hour. Who knows? I haven't gotten the impression that there's going to be a lot of to use John Wildhack's word from earlier in the hour, a lot of consternation if they do or don't from anybody involved in the event. But, you know, like I say, I think it's going to be interesting to see how this game goes tomorrow. I mean,
the winner is 500 in the league. The winner is 8-8. How do you define glob? There it is. 8 up, 8 down.
Let me remind you, too, since 1996 – the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets have had that many winning records in the ACC.
For folks on radio, Wes is holding up the number one.
One. They were 9-7 in 2004, the year they played for the national title. And they had to beat Duke at Cameron to get to 9-7.
Boy, were they lucky. Clemson and BC get together. Another glob special. Tigers are 7-8. BC 7-9.
You got a feel for this?
No. Of course not. It's the glob. It's the glob.
Boston College, I didn't think the things went well at all the other night at Charlottesville. And Clemson's had the week off. Clemson has not played. Last we saw Clemson, they were torching the Ville last week at Little John.
And a couple days before that, they were torching Pittsburgh on the road.
So I'm telling you, if you're going to go with momentum, and look at Clemson, 64, I'll never understand BPI. You don't understand luck, I don't understand BPI.
No, I understand luck. I just don't think it plays any sort of deal in a
64.5% chance to win at BC on the road. Okay, Tigers, prove it. We had John Newman III on the show yesterday. Very enjoyable visit, by the way.
He was good.
I don't know. I don't have a feel for this one either because I think Jay Heath's going to make the All-ACC rookie team. That's just an opinion, but he might get my vote if I have a vote. I don't even know if I'm voting yet.
Well, here's the other thing, too. No, you got to create your energy at BC tomorrow if you're Clemson. You got to figure, hey, kind of lazy afternoon, right?
Yeah.
6 o'clock.
Sure.
What are you doing in Boston? It's going to get dark at 4. Are you going to the game or not? I mean, to me, that's going to be one of those kind of, you come out for the warm-up drills, you better be ready to go.
Yeah. Drew could drive over for the game tomorrow.
Good.
Yeah. 6 o'clock Saturday night.
So,
nice trip
again, Georgia Tech Syracuse winner is going to be at 8-8. Clemson has a chance to get to 8-8. BC got a chance to go 8-9. You got the Hokies going to Duke, fresh off a absolute thumping.
Look, Mike Young, Duke won in Blacksburg back in December.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, if you've noticed, we're kind of getting the replays of the November-December games this week. I can't imagine. Virginia Tech, triple overtime game the other night.
Tough loss.
Yeah. First ever triple overtime, by the way, from Miami in their basketball history.
And they were pretty unlucky to lose that game, having the lead with three by three.
They shot over the backboard, for heaven's sakes.
That was awesome, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Radford shot.
Yeah, Tyrese Radford.
But you're up three with like 6 seconds to go, 10 seconds to go. Didn't get it done. Unlucky.
Hokies are 228 in luck.
Is that where they are? That's not a good number, is it?
It's not great.
I tell you what.
I
would not want to play Duke anywhere after the way they just got manhandled Wednesday night. Because they didn't. As Coach K said, I'm not making this up. We were not competitive, was his line. And normally when that guy gives you that line, practice this week had to be a whole lot of fun in Durham. I suspect that Duke will be razor sharp coming up tomorrow night.
Here's something for you. In the past, after subpar Duke performances, stories have come out about names off the locker room, not allowed to wear the practice gear. We practiced in Carr Gym, right? The old gym on campus as opposed to Cameron. Remember those?
I do.
Yeah.
And I also remember Coach K's press conference after the game the other night. He was still coaching and laying down the law in the post-game interview.
I'm going to be interested to see tomorrow after the game in Durham if there are any stories of we didn't practice in the gear, we practiced at Carr Gym, we practiced at 5 in the morning as opposed to 4 in the afternoon, that kind of thing. You know what I mean by that.
I do. Yeah. I'm just telling you.
I'm not going to be surprised if we hear, well, we went shirts and skins for 2 days because, you know, we had to learn to, you know, we had to learn a valuable lesson, give effort, whatever the case may be. There have been things in the past. One time the chairs in the locker room were removed. They had to sit on stools, I think. I can't remember how it all worked out. But there have been times here and there in the last 20 years or so where things like that have transpired.
I am going to be stunned if Duke isn't terrific tomorrow night.
Oh,
I mean, look at that face.
There was
right
a
there.
Lot of that on the bench Wednesday night.
Yeah.
So for those people all caught up in handshakes and things like that after the game, the handshake – no disrespect to Kevin Keats. There's no, but I'm telling you, that bench look, that's all you need to see. Because typically, the head coach of the Blue Devils is a little more animated on the bench. when he's just sitting there watching the game,
he's already thinking about the next
there
game.
There you go. Much like, I don't know if this story got enough run for me last week. Do you know about the Notre Dame bench during the Duke game? Where it was readily evident Duke was going to win the game, right? And Mike Bray and his top assistant, Rob Belanis, who played for Cremins at Georgia Tech and survived to tell about it, they turned to the team at like the under 8 or about 6 minutes to go. I've seen the story written a couple of different times and started talking about Monday night against Carolina.
Smart.
Do not let this game affect what happens Monday night.
It's smart.
Yeah.
I mean, because that one was over. Over, as Billy Packer would say.
And by the way, the idea of John Shire, Chris Carrawell, Nate James, those guys on that bench, I'm going to gather that something was probably said shortly after the NC State game about whatever it was tonight doesn't need to be there tomorrow, Friday at practice, Saturday when Virginia Tech comes rolling in. I'd be really surprised if you don't get the Blue Devils' full attention there tomorrow night.
Yeah, I hope Virginia Tech's ready to go because I think Duke's going to be ticked off. One other game, the team that currently is in first place is taking on the team that's currently in 15th place. That happens on the ladies' side. It happens on the men's side this weekend in ACC Hoops. North Carolina is going to Louisville.
All I'm going to say on behalf of my friend John, who called this show earlier.
Mm-hmm. He's got the heels winning the ACC tournament.
He did.
Doesn't trust Louisville.
He had Carolina's luck factor really high. All I will say is this. At Louisville, NC State at home, at Syracuse, Wake at home, and at Duke, they're going to get somebody in these next five and put a number up and shoot it like crazy, and we're going to go, what? I'm going to say about the next five.
They could do it against Wake.
Right, but I'm thinking like more toward the front.
Well, go ahead say what you want to say here. Do you think they're going to win tomorrow?
I don't think they'll win tomorrow. Could win tomorrow, but I don't think they'll win tomorrow. I don't know that, and I say this with all due respect and earlier in the show, acknowledging that I said I think the regular season tournament would mean the most to Louisville as opposed to Duke and Florida State. I don't know where I am as somebody watching games with Louisville right now. In other words, I think Louisville played better the other night. But did Louisville play well enough the other night that you trust them to win four and get to Atlanta?
Sure.
The other night against Syracuse, they did.
They killed Syracuse. They obliterated Syracuse. Now, their effort against Clemson, their effort against Georgia Tech's not going to get them to Atlanta.
Right.
Unless they buy a ticket. Okay. But I have more faith in Louisville than, obviously, John the caller. And apparently you. I think
Louisville's going to get there. I'm just not sure that 40 minutes against Syracuse solved it last night.
No, I didn't say it solved it, but they obliterated Syracuse. I mean, that final score was not indicative of how that game was out of control.
And look, I think they're going to get back, but, you know, you said does Carolina have a chance tomorrow? Yeah, Carolina's got a chance, but obviously BPI says they got less than 10%. The idea to me is I think Louisville's going to get there, and I think Louisville's got a really good chance to win the regular season as a result. But tomorrow, I need to see one more of it.
Only one? Then you're good? If they beat North Carolina by double digits, you're good with Louisville?
I really need to see it Monday night. Monday night is the kind of game you win Monday night, show me you can go to Tallahassee and stop that steamroll.
Especially since you didn't do it the first time at home.
Correct. Then you will tell not only people in the ACC, you'll tell people nationally you're ready.
And tell me again, who's beaten Florida State at home lately?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Right.
They've gone almost 400 days.
That's it.
Since their last loss at home.
Yeah.
That's how good the Noles have been at home.
And imagine how it sets up for Florida State. Because you know you're going to get a haymaker tomorrow in Raleigh.
Yeah, no doubt about
that. And then you're going to turn around Monday night. And more than likely, the first place team's coming to your building, mm-hmm. who you've already beaten.
Right.
Ain't it a great league?
It's the time of the year, man. Mid to late February, it gets really, really juicy.
Packer and Durham.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Here we go, kids. Roll the video. It's time for the weekend menu brought to you by Bojangles. What do you want to get today? A little pimento cheese and sausage?
I don't know, but about a half an hour from now, you'll see me at one.
By the way, here's the list. Wrestling, the duels.
The Friday night, it's a staple on ACC
Network.
Sean
Kenny, Rock Harrison are at Cameron Indoor Stadium for the Pack and the Blue Devils. And then lacrosse starts our day noon. Chris Cotter will be in Charlottesville for Princeton and Virginia. Jordan Cornette, Katie George, and I will be at PNC Arena in Raleigh. Then Jay Alter, Dallin Cuff at the Conti Forum for Clemson, BC. You see the triple header of women's basketball at noon. Brett Dolan, Monica McNutt at Notre Dame. Sam Ravitch, Chelsea Wilson will have Virginia, Virginia Tech. Jen Hildreth, LaChina Robinson will be in Atlanta for Florida State, Georgia Tech. And then at 6 o'clock, not listed on your screen, Miami at Notre Dame with me and Malcolm Huckabee.
Have you had a better weekend slate of games, personally, than the two you got this week? Let that one marinate a second.
I did Wake, Duke, Carolina State in consecutive nights a couple of years ago.
Weekend slate.
Oh, weekend, no.
Again,
no.
Weekend slate. You got two good ones.
Yeah, two really good ones.
And
excited to be on.
You know what else you've got?
What's that?
You've got some serious ACC index card games.
Oh, boy.
Get your pen out, whichever color you like.
All right.
You could use all of this.
All right, let me have it.
NC State, Florida State. That's your game tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
When it comes to free throw attempt margin conference games.
Yes, sir.
You have the two worst in the league.
Oh, boy.
The Noles are a negative 76. Wolfpack, negative 68.
Okay.
Free throw attempts.
Yeah.
You've got the worst team in the league. Florida State, 208.
Really?
Worst in the league.
Huh.
Foul margin.
What about? Oh, okay.
No, I'm only giving something you can use. Because if I give you too many numbers, it gets very confusing.
Well, it's me and
over
math.
Because you got the Clash songs
in
your head.
It's me and math.
It just doesn't work.
Should I stay or should I go
You
down?
Should go. Okay. Foul margin. The worst in the league.
Okay.
Florida State. Yeah. Plus 36.
Really?
NC State is 13th.
Okay.
Plus 25.
All right.
Fouls.
God.
NC State, 13th in the league.
Yeah.
285 of them.
Whoa.
So you got a bunch just in that game alone. How about your next game?
Miami, Notre Dame.
You want some numbers? I'm going to give them to you. Free throw attempt margin. Go
sure.
to the next page.
All right, I'm here.
Miami's number one. Notre Dame's number three.
Wow.
Okay. So you got the two ends of the spectrum.
Oh, I know.
The best
and they both
and the
shoot it
of.
Well, too, by the way.
Just telling you.
They both shoot it very well.
Free throw attempts. Miami is third in the league.
Okay.
Foul margin. You have the two best teams Sunday. Miami, negative 48. Notre Dame, negative 42.
Wow.
Fouls. You have number one and number three in the league. Notre Dame's the best at 203. Miami is third at 238. There you go. Infamous ACC index card. And the luck ratings, I disintegrated in them. I have no idea where any of those teams are. I have no earthly idea. Before we get cranked up.
Two things.
I got one, too.
All right, go.
Before we get cranked up with our now traditional UVA pep band playing Holland's Heroes at the end of the show.
Sure.
Happy birthday wishes today,
mm-hmm.
Bronco Mendenhall. Bronco turns 37 today.
No, he's George. Not 37. By the way, you can go to the UVA football Twitter feed to bid on something to celebrate Bronco's birthday.
There you go.
We got that, by the way. Also, sidebar, the ACC is going to announce the winner of the Weaver James Cargan Thacker postgraduate scholarships today.
Yep, bunch of them.
About 11 o'clock. That's almost 50 young people that
awesome.
Are going to be honored by the Atlantic Coast Conference with monies for postgraduate study. And just don't think this is something that's a flyby. This is annually done by the league, and you'll be surprised to know 3, 5, 6, 7 years from now, These are your doctors, yep, your lawyers, your great corporate leaders in America who were ACC student athletes. So congratulations to all those folks.
No question about it. Really impressive. And also the Women's Swimming and Diving Championships in Greensboro this weekend. We've got fencing in South Bend. Again, lacrosse, baseball, hoops. Man, and we're almost close to a little spring football. We'll get into that next week on the show.
Fencing.
I don't know what you're doing.
Fencing.
Tell you what, you better hope Fuller doesn't get a load of this.
Oh,
take
God.
You out right now.
Have a great weekend. Thanks to Drew, Josh, Alice. Everybody did a phenomenal job. Anish Shroff is here Monday. He'll tell you all the great books he's reading. Packer will recap basketball and plenty more.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.